This is the High School Football America podcast for March the 6th, 2024. I'm Jeff Fisher. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by GameStrat, America's premier sideline instant replay system with outstanding reliability, faster speed than Huddle Sideline. Plus, GameStrat has awesome customer service along with different plans priced right for every coach's budget. And don't forget to mention High School Football America. When you talk to the good folks at GameStrat, they will give you a High School Football America friends and family discount. Why don't you find out why so many coaches, hundreds, have been making the switch over the last couple of seasons? To get a demo, go to GameStrat.com or click on the GameStrat banner ad located on every page of HighSchoolFootballAmerica.com. Championship chat makes a trip to Georgia, right down the road from the home office of High School Football America. Milton, Georgia, the 7A champs in the state of Georgia. Boy, 7A might be one of the toughest in the country. I think it might be. Not because I live here. But Ben Reeves led Milton to a state title last year and then finished in the High School Football America 300, powered by NFL Play Football at number 18. He was also on the staff in 18 that won a state championship then. He's been a part of a whole lot of winning for the Eagles over the last 5, 6, 7 years, and he's taking the time out of his busy schedule to talk about last year, and we'll look ahead to 2024. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. Appreciate what you do for the sport of high school football, so always got time for you guys.
Well, we appreciate that, Coach, and I'll tell you, you've had a little bit of time now. I guess it's somewhere around 3 months or so, right, to think about that championship. I used to tell Coach Clack about that 18 championship. It was probably one of the noisiest state championship games I've ever been to, and I've been to Texas where 50,000 were in the stadium. You guys rocked it that night at Mercedes-Benz. But you were part of both. Now that you look back 3 months later, how much fun was 2023? And can you compare it to the one in 18?
Yeah, both. There were a lot of similarities and, of course, some differences in both years. Thankfully, in 18, I was calling from up in the box, so I wasn't affected by all the crowd noise. But I know just watching it back, how loud and incredible the atmosphere was, and that was just such a magical ride, just with it being the first one in school history, big-time underdogs, a bunch of David and Goliath matchups all the way through the playoffs with us, of course, being David every time and being counted out. And like I said, just being a part of the first one in school history is just a special feeling that will never be duplicated, no matter how many, we're fortunate to win here. And then fast forward to this previous or this past season, it of course hit a little different for me just because, I wasn't the offensive coordinator this time. I was the head coach, so I got to win one, as the head coach. But the story was just so similar to 18. We lost two games early on in 18 that really shaped us and molded us as a team. And the same thing happened this past season, just playing the tough schedule, the national schedule that we play. Lost two games early on, and people started counting us out and writing us off. And similar to 18, we as coaches and as players knew that we had a championship caliber team and coaching staff, and knew what we could do, knew what we could accomplish. And we listened to the voices in the locker room and blocked everything else out. And that happened both of those years. Ironically, just with the two losses and us having to lean on each other and trust our coaches and trust the players and the schemes and just continue to believe, although no one else did. And, thankfully we were able to get it done again.
It's funny. I think you just must have looked at my question sheet here, because I was going to ask you about that 3-2 start. And I'm going to change it around, though. But you mentioned it. You guys are not afraid to play a national-type schedule, right? Tell me a little bit about the philosophy of going into a season knowing where you could start with a couple of L's, but in the long run, it helps you come playoff time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a mindset that, for one, we try to instill in our players as a program of competitive toughness, and there's no situation that we're scared to attack. So what better way, just as a coach to show that and not be afraid to schedule any team essentially that wants to play us, so that's one aspect of it. But secondly, you know, we want to make sure that by the time it's truly win or go home, and by the time that we get to where it is our season on the line, that we know exactly where all of our holes are as a team, exactly what our strengths and weaknesses are as a team, and that way we can address those throughout the season instead of potentially finding out in a win or go home game, and then we're having to address those in the off season. So it's just a philosophy that, you know, we make sure we explain to our kids as well, so they understand that, you know, truly each and every year I say this, the difference between 0-2 and 2-0 non-region is scheduling. You know, if we want to start out 2-0, there's probably two teams that I can go and find that we can beat and feel good about being 2-0, but that's not going to make us the best football team. That's not going to, you know, make us have to go out there and put everything on the line and find out what we're about and find out what we need to improve on and then work all year to do that before playoffs hit. Because like you said, Georgia 7A and now 6A and then 5A, you know, which will be in next year, is are some of the toughest playoff brackets in the entire country. So we want to make sure that, you know, we have some teams and some competition that we can always look back on and say, look, we've played this level before. We've played teams that, you know, have, you know, all these 4- and 5-star guys before. We've been there. You know what it's about. And that just makes attacking that playoff bracket in Georgia a little bit easier.
Yeah, no doubt. And a little bit later, we'll talk about the changes there in 7A, down to 6A now, and as you said, 5A. But before we get to that, let's keep kind of turning the clock back. As I say to every coach during championship chat, you know, I'd love to have every Milton Eagles name on this podcast, but I don't have all that time. You guys got a big roster. So, but what I want to do is get some of the kids in here by name, some of the leaders that really played a big role. You can take it however you want. If you want to go offense first, defense first, but let's get some of the kids that made 2023 special for you and the school.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, even myself, I don't have time to, you know, unfortunately, in this small segment we have, to do justice to all the kids that put in the work. But, you know, offensively, I'll just start there, and led by, you know, the best quarterback in the state of Georgia and one of the best in the country in Luke Nickell, you know, future Miami commit. And his growth throughout the season was tremendous. By the time that we got into the playoffs, he truly was clicking on all cylinders. And he just had a tremendous receiving core to, you know, throw the ball to, with, you know, two seniors that will miss, DeBron Gatling, who's at South Carolina, and Mark Esley, who's headed to Valdosta State. And then we got a couple of young guys that are coming back as well, with C.J. Wiley and Tristan Payne and big tight end Ryan G. And two good running backs and T.J. Lester and Amari Anderson, and, you know, returning 4 out of 5 offensive linemen. So all those guys were crucial in that run, and thankfully a lot of them are coming back. And then flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, you know, Ja'Cory Stewart, you know, he's the one that really put the nail in the coffin with that late pick six and ended up sprinting down the field to go celebrate, you know, with our fans, our students, which was a cool moment just for our student section and our team, even though it cost us a penalty. But he's headed to Kansas, so we'll miss him. And then, you know, on the other side of him was Jack Lawson, who's headed to Carnegie Mellon, who had that incredible interception on the sideline that ended up making the SportsCenter top 10. I think it was the number 4 play in the country that night. So we'll definitely miss both of those guys from a productivity standpoint and also from a senior leadership standpoint. You know, and up front, you know, Drew Cohen, he's a senior that we'll miss that came up big in that game. But, you know, we're returning some guys up front, second level, third level, that also played well. You know, Dylan Lewis and Ty Redmond had a big interception in that game. And, you know, can't believe we let the quarterback tackle him, but, you know, we'll work on that in the offseason. But both those guys heading to Tennessee, and Makai Jones, you know, heading to Duke, he's coming back. He had a great game at safety. And obviously A.J. Benton and Hayden Semenya had one of the purest and hardest hits I think I've ever seen in my life, when he came free on a blitz and was able to get to the quarterback. And, you know, that hit really changed the game. And, you know, just our big men up front, and Caleb Bell and Caleb Ellis. So all those guys, man, and I know I forgot some, and I hate that, and I apologize for it, but, you know, we're gonna miss those guys that graduated that had such a big impact on the game and the season, and we're excited for the ones that we are returning, though.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Talking with Ben Reeves, the head coach at Milton High School in Georgia, suburban Atlanta school that won the 7A championship, and 7A is gone. It's now 6A for the highest, and like I said, we'll talk about that in just a little bit here, but I want to keep looking back, Coach, and you're doing the interviews, you get the accolades. That's like Coach Clack did, right? In 18, you were the OC, but the change now, you're at the top and you get all these interviews, but there's a staff beneath you. So let's give you an opportunity here to talk about that staff and the role they played in helping bring gold back to Milton.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, you know, I'm the one that does the interviews, but they're the ones that truly make the magic happen on a daily basis and, you know, do the coaching. And I've completely turned the offense over, the defense over, the special teams over. I'm just there to assist and help and keep it moving and trust my hires and let these guys go to work, and they're all phenomenal. But, you know, offensively, our OC, Stevie Jackson, you know, best around. He could go be a head coach probably anywhere he wants to, but loves this place and decides to stay at Milton and continue to invest here, and had two phenomenal receiver coaches in Caleb Reeves, who is my younger brother, and Terrence Edwards, who is now a head coach down the street at Mount Vernon. But those guys just did such a good job with the receivers last year. And tight end coach Steven Stromme, just the way he developed Ryan G. and Rob Williams, who year in and year out just proves he's the best O-line guy in the state, if not in the country, just what he's able to do with the guys that he has. And Vinny Silvestri, Milton alum, and you know, not only does the running backs, but does the special teams. And you know, if you watch our games, you know, special teams is it's a weapon for us. You know, we attack on special teams. I think we ran, you know, 8 fake punts last season. So it's something that he just does a tremendous job with himself. And then flipping over, you know, Milton defense has always had a swagger and a name around here. And our DC, David Willingham, just the way he arose to every challenge in the playoffs, even going back to the third round with Colquitt County, was just incredible to see, you know, the job and the performance that he and his defense put together. And he has a tremendous staff as well. Two phenomenal linebacker coaches and Josh Carletta and Justin Miller. Two incredible secondary coaches and Lonnie Estes and Ronaldo Smith. They've been here longer than I have, you know, so they've seen a lot of ups and downs, and it's good to see those guys be here during these days where the winning is occurring a little more than the losing. And then just being able to bring back the DC from the 2018 championship team, Drew Connell, to join our defensive staff last year was pivotal as well. So I can't say enough about those guys and the job they do, and I'm blessed to have them, and I'm glad that they're coming back.
One of the things when I talk to coaches through the years that they talk about, it's been 50 years for me doing this, I think, all the way back when I started, is when they get the opportunity to move up the totem pole like you did, you know, letting go. And you just said you talked about it, right? You've turned over the offense, the defense, the special teams. How difficult was that for you? Was it an easy thing, or did you have to kind of wean yourself from it?
You know what? The machine at Milton here is just so big that it's just, you know, just between the feeder teams and the ninth grade team, JV team, varsity team, you're just talking about so many kids, so many parents. There's so many aspects to this head coaching job that people don't even think about. It was kind of a no-brainer for me, because I knew that if I tried to take it all on and take the offense on, I wouldn't really be able to truly excel in any of those categories. So I had to turn something over. And obviously, as the head coach, just being in charge of the ultimate vision and ultimate, you know, productivity of the program is what I prioritized. And that left me needing an OC. And, you know, Stevie and I, our relationship goes back to 2018 when we had some common opponents and talked a little football back in those years. And his track record speaks for itself. So whenever I was able to bring him on, I didn't think twice about it. I knew it was the right decision, and I've never looked back.
Yep, That's for sure, and you've done pretty darn well. Championship time celebration in December in Milton, and we're talking about 23, but we're going to fast forward now to 24. You guys are already getting after it, obviously, in the weight room. I always love this. I can hear coaches around the country cringing when I start talking about spring ball. Those are the guys that don't have spring ball. They want it, obviously. But tell us a little bit about what you guys do in the off season and what you try to accomplish going into spring ball. What do you need in spring ball? And then what do you say we're going to do in the fall to make sure we're ready for a defense of the 23 title?
Yeah, so, you know, right now there's, you know, just a good atmosphere, good vibe around the team. Obviously, returning 17 out of 22 starters, there's the thought of, you know, are we going to be satisfied? Are we going to be complacent heading into this year after already having 1-1? And that is definitely not the case with this rising senior class. They're hungry as ever, if not more hungry than they've ever been. So that's good to see in the weight room. And, you know, we're getting after it, you know, 3-4 days a week in the mornings. I do everything in the mornings, nothing after school, trying to push these guys to a second sport. I'm a huge supporter and promoter of second sports. So we don't do anything in the afternoon that they feel like they may be missing out on. No speed and agility. If you want to get faster, go run with our track team. And, you know, as we get into May, you know, we are blessed to not only have a spring, but also we get to play a spring game. So we're able to have 10 total practices. Obviously, that 10th practice is a spring game. So we'll be going down the street to Peachtree Ridge to play a good team with a lot of speed and skill. And, you know, the spring game is it's more for fun than anything. You know, it's just a chance of after grinding for 9 straight days and putting in those base schemes on offense and defense to go out there and have a little fun with it. And then getting into the summer, we'll go 3-4 days a week. Don't want to overwork them. Want to make sure we give them time to go off and be kids and enjoy themselves, enjoy their summer. Make sure that whenever they come here, it's a place that they want to come to, not have to come to. Because if you look at our rising senior class, they've played in 44 out of 45 possible games. You know, their freshman year, we were state runner-up. Their sophomore year, went to the semifinals. And last year, we won state. So these guys are used to and know the expectation is we're going to be playing into December. So I don't want to burn them out, you know, May, June, and July. So try to find that balance in the summer to where we're getting our work in, but also letting them just be high school kids for a little bit. So I know when August hits, it's, you know, we're all in. We're all in. And as we get into the fall, there's no time to catch our breath because we're starting out hot. We got a scrimmage game against Newton. And then game one, we're going to play Buford, one of the top teams in the country. And then game two, we're going to fly back down to Miami and play American Heritage, which will be on ESPN. And then come back for two big rivalry games with Alpharetta and Blessed Trinity, and then get into region play. So it'll come quick, but that's what we're used to. That's what we're about. That's what the kids expect. And like I said, it should be another fun year next season.
Yeah, well, you hit on what I was going to hit on next, which is that the opening again, those first two games. No cupcakes in those first 2 weeks. Ben Reeves is on the line, head coach in Milton. And a couple more questions, let you go. Again, thanks for the time, Coach. Let's go to 17 out of 22. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but that sounds like a good thing. But that also comes with a bad thing, right? Because you've got expectation, not only from your staff and the players, but the media, people like myself. You're going to be highly ranked in the preseason High School Football America 300 and all that. How do you talk to the kids about, you know what, guys, it doesn't mean a blankety-blank thing unless we get it done on the field? How do you lower expectations to make sure they're hungry and ready?
Yeah, well, luckily, you know, we're definitely not going to lower the expectation. The kids know the expectation is the same every year, and that's just to reach our ceiling, whatever that might be. And they know that, you know, yes, you know, we're returning 17 guys, and yes, we're dropping down to 5A, but, you know, 5A is loaded. It has 3 state champions from last year in it, a state runner-up, and a bunch of good teams that, you know, probably could have been in that position, but we're one win away from getting that far. So between that and the non-region schedule, our guys know there's no time for complacency. But at the same time, you know, they do know that it's going to be different from last year. Last year, we were the underdog. Last year, you know, we quote-unquote snuck up on some teams that were sleeping on us. And we're not going to do that this season. But that's what I like about it. It's refreshing because with returning so many guys, it is a different challenge. You know, you've done it this way. Can you now do it as one of the favorites? Can you now do it as one of the most talked about teams, right? And if you are who you say you are, then you can get it done. So it's same expectation. It's just a different challenge, different mindset. And just as coaches and as players, we'll work to attack it.
Yeah, bullseye being placed by you on you by me, because I already know what the preseason looks like already. I've been monkeying around with the algorithm a little bit, so you're gonna have a high ranking. I know that. And let's just talk about it, the change of the landscape in Georgia. As I said at the top, no doubt 7A, one of the toughest in the country, if not the toughest, makes 6A now this year the biggest classification, the toughest, and 5A is very, very interesting and tough as well. I mean, I guess the question is would you like to perform at that, you know, the biggest classification? I mean, is there any thought on that? Because I know I've heard a lot of chit-chat about, you know, just the loss of 7A, good and bad, I guess, from people out there.
Yeah, you know, there's good and bad to it. But the thing is, we were a 6A team the past couple of years that petitioned to play up in 7A. So we weren't even playing in the classification right. We were supposed to. And still were able to have success. And just as a school, as a total athletic program, we made the decision to let's play in the classification that we're supposed to so we can be competitive in all sports, you know, not just a couple. So I'm fine with that. I support it. And that's another reason why we play a national schedule, just to make sure that, you know, we're not, quote unquote, in the top classification in the state anymore, but we're still going to compete against those guys and the best in the country. And, you know, you really could argue year in and year out, whether it's 6A or 7A or 5A or 6A, that a lot of those teams could compete up and could be interchangeable anyway. But I know this past season, you know, Max Preps released the playoff brackets, and Georgia 7A was number two in the country in terms of how difficult it was. And I'll be very surprised next postseason, whenever they release those same statistics, if Georgia 5A and Georgia 6A are both not in the top 10, because it is just a gauntlet for both classifications. But that's just to be expected when you condense down and just add more good high quality teams into each one.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. I think there's going to be, it just makes it real interesting. There's a lot of teams being condensed into a couple of classifications. They're going to make the postseason fun for everybody. Coach, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Look forward to watching what the Eagles do in 2024. I do believe you guys are going to be highly ranked in the High School Football America 300, powered by NFL Play Football, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the road, but thanks for taking the time today.
You got it. Always a pleasure to talk to you guys, talk a little Milton football. Appreciate you having me on, and happy to do it again anytime in the future.
And that's today's High School Football America podcast. Don't forget to go to highschoolfootballamerica.com to nominate your student athlete or student athletes from the 2023 season for our Academic All-America team. We have over 4,000 nominations so far. It's easy to do. If you're on a scale of 100, your student athlete has to be above 96, and if it's a GPA, it's 3.7 or higher. It's that simple. Just go to highschoolfootballamerica.com, click on the navigation tab where it says Academic All-America, and then beneath that you will see the form to fill out to put your student in. You can also email us at AAA for Academic All-American, AAA at highschoolfootballamerica.com. Different this year from the first 3 years, parents and student athletes, they are able to nominate. So if you're nominating yourself, and you can do that, you will have to send us your transcript. We will reach out after we receive the nomination from you asking for that. Same thing for the parents. Parents, you can nominate your child, and all you have to do is go to that same form. It will ask your relationship to the person that's being nominated, and if it just happens to be your son, that's fine. We just ask you for the transcripts. Easy to do. The High School Football America podcast is brought to you by NFL Play Football. Coaches, don't forget to check out playfootball.nfl.com for some great resources to help you improve in the coaching profession. That's the High School Football America podcast, and I'm Jeff Fisher.